tomorrow. I was like, hey, thanks. Right? And sometimes he gives me, like this time he gave me a week. He's like, you know, you got plenty of time to study, right? But sometimes even when he gives me a week, I struggle. So Wednesday night, Henry came up to me, because Henry teaches our home Bible study on Monday night, and they basically review what we've done in the last two messages, right? So Henry comes up to me on Wednesday night and says, hey, what are we studying on Sunday? I was like, I don't know, bro. I have no idea. I'm sorry. God hasn't given it to me yet. And he kind of went, oh, okay, and you know, walked off like, bummer. The funny thing was, God did give it to me. I just wasn't listening closely enough. So here's how it happened, right? All week, there was a piece of scripture stuck in my head. I didn't focus on it. It just kept coming, you know, just kept coming. And I continued to pray. And then before I, for whatever reason, I just finally realized, wait a minute. This verse has kept coming to my head. Maybe I should focus, right? Maybe I should listen closely. And then there was another part, the verse before it came into my head. And then there was another part, the first part. Anyways, God kept putting it in my head and putting it in my head and putting it in my head. It was like, okay, God, I get it. This is what you want to do. That's what I'll do. Let me give it to you in the ways that it came to me, okay? First it was, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now, I will tell you that anytime you're asked to teach, at least for me, I'll ask Willie and Pastor Chris, but anytime you're asked to teach, God's going to teach you first. And then he's going to say, okay, teach what I taught you. So this verse kept coming to my head, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And I have some troubled paths ahead of me in the very near future. So I just felt like it was God just saying, you know, don't worry, you know, acknowledge me, I'll direct your path. Don't worry, I got you, right? Trust me, follow me, and it'll be good. And then the second half of the verse before came to me, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Lean not on your own understanding. And I started feeling a little guilty. Or as pastor calls it, busted. Right? You're busted, bro. I know that trying to figure things out on my own is one of the things that I need to work on. It always has been. So I felt like God was busting me. So it's like, okay, I'll get that prayed up. Right, I'll pray on that and work on that. And I got to be a little bit better, right? Okay, I feel a little bit better about that. And then I realized there's another piece of that verse, right? The first part of this scripture is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he should direct that path. So now I'm like, oh man, I gotta pray harder. Right? I got to pray harder. Trust the Lord with all your heart. That's not easy. But again, I was thinking the whole time, this is for me. This is just for me. God's putting it in my head, then putting it in my heart. And then it was like, wait. This is what God wants shared on Sunday. Right? So we're going to pray about it again here in a minute. Right? If God changes his mind, I don't know what we're going to do. But we're going to do two verses today. Two verses. That's new, right? Both of them from Proverbs. If God gave me my choice of where to teach from, Proverbs would not be high on the list. All right? But it's not my choice. It's God's choice. And we do believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Right? All Scripture. That scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. So let's pray, and then we'll get into what God has for us today. Ready? Father God, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for your church and for this body of believers. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you as a group, to put our hearts and our minds in the right place so that we're available, completely available and focused on what you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would just let your spirit free, and that today you'd change us. You'd help us see something specifically for each of us in your word, and that it would affect how we serve you. Lord, I thank you for those that are serving today, that are teaching. Lord, I pray you'd have your hand on our pastor, and that he'd be effective there, and that you'd bring him back safely to us. Lord, we love you, and we love, can't understand, but love how much you love us. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, cool. So yeah, I that's interesting. Because I gave Leslie a title. I don't know where that came from. I just kind of threw that down this morning. But that's maybe a good one. So the passage we're going to study is in Proverbs. It's chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Okay? That's where we're going to be at today. Before we read it again, I'll tell you that part of what we're going to do today is something that I brought from kids church, because I teach kids church every Sunday, and I always try to bring something over here to what over there we call this adult church, right? So one of the things we try to work on in kids church every Sunday is a memory verse. I don't know if you were raised in Sunday school or kids church, but it's something that we do every Sunday with our kids, okay? And I will tell you that memorizing scripture is hard for me. It's tough for me. I do it really well if you can put it to music. That's really easy for me. But just flat out memorizing scripture is hard. But I know it's important. And I know because God tells us it's important. Right? Psalm 119:11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That means that you've got God's word memorized in your heart and in your mind, right? So I wouldn't sin against God. That's what that means. So since God put these two verses into my heart and my mind, I thought if it's okay with you guys, and you don't have to if you don't want to, we would go old school and do a memory verse together. Same way we do it in kids' church. Are you guys game? Here's what we do. We do it in unison. We do it out loud. First, the reference, so book, chapter, verse, then the verse, and then again, the reference. Okay? You got that? Is that easy? Is that hard? We're going to put it up so you don't have to have it by memory if you don't have it by memory. All right. We ready? Here we go. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. All right. Before we're done, you may never forget those two verses. I hope that they're effective in changing your life. But before we're done, I'll tell you what, I'll never forget these two verses ever. And before we're done today, you may not either, because that's what we're going to study today, those two verses. All right? Now, before we jump in, I've got two acronyms that I want to share with you. And they're just, all they are is acronyms to help remember stuff, okay? Don't read into them. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a way to remember things, right? The first, I discovered about a decade ago. I was teaching, and I was, like I am now, continually seeking to be in God's will, right? That's one of those things that something we need to continually work on. And it's one of the questions that we get a lot is like, how do I make sure I'm in God's will, right? So I was working on that at the time, and there's lots of scripture that tells us, that helps us understand what God's will is, but I was struggling with the actual application. Like, how do I make sure I'm doing the things that I need to do to be in God's will? So I shared this acronym, and it's one that my wife reminds me of all the time because it's custom made for knuckleheads like me. You know how sometimes our pastor calls himself a knucklehead? He's not a knucklehead. He's actually a pretty intelligent guy. I'm a knucklehead. I got to have things super simple in order for me to really focus, all right? So this acronym is just for me. And again, it's don't take it out of context, okay? It's just the way the letters roll out, and it's just so I can remember them. The acronym is PTSD, all right? Easy to remember. Here's what it stands for. Pray, think, say, do. All right? Super important. They're in order. Pray, think, say, do. All right? Got it? Pray, think, say, do. So if you will, write that down. See if you can use that approach with at least one of the three things we're going to learn today that God wants us to do, that are in his will for us, okay? Pray, think, say, do. Now, I have to assume that you are interested in being in God's will because you're here. And I will tell you that being here is one of the things that's in God's will for you. God wants you here. God wants his people in a good, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. He wants you to be able to grow and to be built up and to be held accountable and to discover what true fellowship is. And this is where that happens. Doesn't have to be this church, but you're already here today. So you might as well, experience it today. Don't leave. All right? So we already discovered one thing that we know is God's will for your life. What's that? Being here, being in church. One of the things that God wants in your life, all of us. All right? Let's go back to our acronym. Pray, think, say, do. All right, cool. That's cool to hear you guys say it. All right, so now I have to do life application. Like, okay, how does pray, think, say, do work, Steve? And I'll use myself because I told you I need simplicity in my life. This is a simple plan. I need it. I use it. I need a simple plan to make sure that I'm following the right steps toward moving into God's will. Pray, think, say, do. So here's where I'm at with today, right, what I was asked to do. I'm confident that God decided to send Pastor Mike to Amarillo. I'm confident that God decided that he's going to put me behind the pulpit. Scary, right? Humbling. But I'm confident that's what God decided to do. I followed my pray, think, say, do steps. I prayed hard early this week, right? I prayed hard. It's like, please, Lord, reveal something. Now would be good. I want to start studying. Give it to me now. I prayed hard. And I prayed that I would make sure that I was listening to what the Spirit was saying. Turns out I wasn't listening as closely as I should have, but still. I did the pray, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So there's the second thing we discovered from Scripture that is in God's will for you. God's will for you is that you rejoice always. Hard for me. Pray without ceasing. I can do that. Be thankful in all circumstances. Right? Be thankful in all circumstances, even our current circumstance. God asks us to be thankful. That's not easy, but that's God's will. So I got pray, right? That's covered. And then the next thing is think, right? So I got these two verses. I prayed about it. Finally, God said, back of your head, hey, pay attention. That's what I want you to teach. Like, okay. So next, it's like, here comes the think piece. And again, biblical. Psalm 119:15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Another word from God here about memorizing scripture. I will not forget your word, right? So, God kept giving those two verses. Only those two verses. I asked God for more because it was like, we can't do just two verses, God. But he told me, just focus on those two verses, Steve. Just those two. So I focused and meditated and thought about just those two verses, right? So here's my pray, you did it. Think, did it, right? And now, right now, I have the opportunity to say what it is that I'm moving toward. In these two verses, with you, out loud, over and over and over again this morning. Right? Prayed, thought, and now I'm saying. I got three of the four down. Okay? So now, the hard part. Now the do. That's the hardest, right? I know God gave me these verses because he wants me to do what they say. I followed the first three steps. Now, I need you guys to hold me accountable. That's one of the reasons we're together, right? Going forward to do what I've prayed, thought, and said. Can you help me with that? All right. Thank you. Here's what I want to do. Here's what I need you to stop me once in a while and say, hey, man, are you still doing that? Because I got some rough things ahead of me. So you feel free to grab me by the shirt and say, hey, are you still doing what you prayed, thought, and said on Sunday the 14th? I want to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I want to not lean on my own understanding. And I want to acknowledge God in all my ways. And then I want to be confident that he'll direct my path. Will you help me be accountable? All right. I think at one point I'm going to add an R to the beginning of that. It's not as memorable. You know, RPSD, RPTSD, we're not going to remember. But I know that God wants us to spend time reading his word. But I'm also going to say that I'm assuming you're already in God's word. If you're not, that's something that is God's will for you, I promise. Okay? All right. So we got our first acronym. Here's our second one. You may have heard of this one before. We're speaking about God's word. We're speaking from God's word. So here's the second acronym. The second acronym is BIBLE. And again, you may have heard of what that stands for. That stands for basic instructions before leaving Earth. All right? BIBLE, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Are we going to be leaving Earth pretty soon? Maybe. Maybe, right? I would you be completely surprised if the rapture's right around the corner? Shouldn't be. That could happen, right? If that happens, there's no better time to make sure you're living in God's will. Right? I've always thought if God comes back tomorrow and he says, Steve, what have you been doing?
Well, I've been focusing on my job and trying to make money.
Oh, well, okay. Way to go, Steve, right? That's not what God wants. Knucklehead. No other place for, especially for knuckleheads like me, to get my instructions than from the book that is the Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Yeah? All right, so two crazy acronyms for you. And now, let's dig into our text, okay? Let's dig deep. We're going to search these two verses and some other verses that you may know. And one of my prayers is that we're going to learn more about what God's will is, and we're going to see new things in these verses that you probably know. One of my favorite things about God's word is that, you know, he shows me new things. I read a verse or even a whole story that I've read hundreds of times, and something's like, wow, that's brand new. That doesn't happen with any other book, right? I don't know what kind of reading material you have, but like when you read something dozens of times, by that point, there's nothing new in that book. There may be some familiarity, and there may be like, man, that gives me good feelings from my childhood. But there's nothing new. But in the Word, there's always something new because God's Word is alive. All right. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Pastor Mike's a word guy, right? And the New King James Version, I think, he really likes the way the words flow. He doesn't teach from the New King James. He teaches from the ESV, but I really like the way the words flow in the New King James Version for these two verses. So here it is again. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. All right, so here's the situation. This is a conditional promise, right? It's something that some scholars would call an if-then, if you will, okay? We're told, if we desire for God to direct our path, then we need to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. Make sense? All right. So let's look closely at those three things that God asks us to do in these verses. The first is trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's where that title came from, all, because it's going to come up a couple times. As it pertains to our life, short term, long term, and its direction, do we really, really, really trust God deeply, totally, totally? That's what he's asking here. Do we turn our lives over to whatever God wants to do with our lives? Do we do that? Honestly? Or does the desire to take things into our own hands take over? I will tell you right now that when God lays something on me, he lays it on me. But I am preaching to myself here for sure. If that's not the case with you, you can ignore this part. Okay? But I think this is a very human, and forgive me, but a very male thing to want to fix things. I'm a fixer. I want to take charge. I want to direct traffic. I want to get that ship going in the direction that I'm sure that ship needs to go. My ship, and if you hang around with me too much, sometimes your ship too. You know? It's like, I'm good. Hey, you, come here. We're going this way. Right? It's a strong pull, especially if I see stormy waters for you or me. It's like, hey, come on, let's go this way. Come on. Right? And I think that, you know, sometimes I see that I can see what lies ahead. Here, let me help you. But that would be my own understanding. We'll talk more about that in a bit. Sometimes I know that you may see me and I may see myself as confident and competent, but my desire to take over is not a biblical one. My desire should be to what? Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Now, I told you guys before, God's continuing to mature me. And here's one of the things that he's been working on me for a long time, and I'm getting better. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting better. God is getting me to a point where I'm trusting him now, as opposed to when I'm in the midst of 10-foot waves. Right? Now. It's like, hey, trust me now about what's ahead. What I've done in the past multiple times is like been in those storms, and it's like, Lord, I trust you. Get me out of this. Right? When there's no other way to turn. When there's no one else to pull you from that rough water. When there's a wall that you can't fix. When your path is like, I don't know what I'm going to do now. God, please help me. God's always helped me, but when I look back at those situations, it's like, I know God was like, why did you wait? Why did you try to fix this yourself and then realize what you got yourself into and then reached out to me? Why? That's not what I want from you. Is it just me? All right. Trusting and believing in God's ability and complete authority to steer my life is an action of the heart, not of my stubborn human brain. Okay? Look. Here, I'll give you some biblical references on that. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance. For from it flow the springs of life. Now, again, this is kind of a late thing that I noticed, and we talked about it a little bit already, but the word all shows up twice in these two verses. Right now we're looking at trust in the Lord with all your heart. Later on we'll look at in all your ways, acknowledge him. God's asking us here to put all, our complete trust in him. If you're placing half your trust in God and half your trust in yourself or in someone else, guess what? That's not all. I read a commentator who put it this way. They trust not God at all that do it not alone. He that stands with one foot on a rock and another foot upon quicksand will sink and perish as certainly as he that stands with both feet on quicksand. If you've got one foot in the rock, you're going to sink as fast as the person that has both feet in quicksand. Does that resonate? So, I've talked before on kids. You know, I know a lot of us kids and grandkids are everything, right? And since I work with some of your kids, I'll tell you, your kids are pretty cool. My kids are cooler, but your kids are cool. God gave us children for a reason, right? They're a blessing. They're a huge blessing, for sure. But one of the reasons we have kids is so we can better understand the relationship that God has for us, right? We have this relationship, and it's mirrored in this relationship. So, in the passage that we're reading, Solomon is teaching his son, who didn't turn out so great, by the way, asking him to listen to what he knows God wants to teach him. Let me ask you, do you want your children to trust you? Yes. Good. I do, too. As a matter of fact, in my head, I can hear myself many, many times telling my three kids, trust me. Trust me. I know what's best for you. Don't ask me why. Just trust me. Right? Guys, your Heavenly Father is saying that same thing to you right now. Right now, right here. In His Word that He gave you to follow. God is reaching out to you right now with no interruptions and saying, trust me with all your heart. I want what's best for you, but you have to trust me. Was that heavy? That's heavy. So again, I will say that I think that fully trusting in God is a heart issue and not a head issue. We may start with a head, right? We pray and think, but in the end we have to say and do from the heart. Do. Trusting God is a do thing. And then when you think about the other options, again, you know, our world is in a weird place, right? And things are difficult all over. I don't know about for you, but Friday hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, my business shut down Friday. Like, boom, you're done. When things get difficult, trusting God is still hard. It's not easy. It's hard. Because again, as at least me, I like, when that happened, I was like, I can fix this. I can find a way. Through the red tape to get done what needs to get done. I didn't. I couldn't. I tried. Trusting God in difficult times, before difficult times, as you see them coming, trusting God at all times is the only way to real peace. It's the only possible solution to what seems like impossible situations. Trusting God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is what God is asking of us. From the very beginning of your walk with Him, no matter where you're at right now, through your entire walk with Him, and even right at the end of your time on this big ball of mud, trust. Praying no matter where you are with God, you continue to trust that God has you. God has the best for you. You just need to keep trusting Him. You need to hear Him right now saying, trust me, I got you. All right? So now, that was hard. Now it gets harder, at least for me, right? Because we got trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what? Lean not on your own understanding. Oh, man. That's where it gets hard for me. And those two phrases were put next to each other for a reason, right? Trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning on your own understanding. They are opposed to each other, juxtaposed. They're opposite. And I just gave you an example, right? What happened on Friday? My own understanding thought, I'll fix this. I got this. But I can tell you from my experience, maybe you can tell me from your experience, leaning on your own understanding does not always go so well. trusting in the Lord, leaning on his understanding, the one who understands all because he created all, goes well. The fact that God understands and knows and thinks differently than us, it's an obvious thing, but it's also a hard concept for us to get, right? God thinks differently than we do. God's not human. One time I was in a Bible study, an adult Sunday school class, with my wife and a group of adults, and we were tossing it back and forth. It was very interactive, and we were tossing back this idea of why God made some of the decisions he made, and trying to explore God's action. Why would God do that? I don't understand that, right? And it's getting really fun and, not heated, but just like we're bouncing things back and forth. Everyone's involved. And then there's this sweet, sweet, sweet Christian lady who is a missionary from Mexico that visited our church in Arizona. Spoke very, very, very little English, but she brought the whole conversation to a halt. It was like, because she just stood up and said, in Spanish, can someone read this passage? Here's what it said, Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we're like, nope, never mind. We're not going to talk about that anymore. We can't even start to comprehend God's thoughts, God's ways, because they're beyond us as humans. God has had a plan for you since before the universe was created. God has had a path for you. God has had his will for you specifically since before the universe was created. Aren't you glad that we're called in this verse to trust and not to understand? Not to, what if God said, I want you to fully understand? I wouldn't make the grade. I wouldn't make it. But God doesn't ask you to fully understand. We say, God, I don't understand why this is happening to me. And God says, I don't need you to understand. I need you to trust. Just trust me. Right? Same thing we do with our kids. Same thing we do with our kids. Just trust me. Now, again, that's heavy for me. But contrast this to what we see in Proverbs 28:26. If any part of you right now is saying, well, my understanding is pretty good. It gets me out of a lot of stuff. If you got any of that in that you right now, here's what Proverbs 28:26 says. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. But he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. There's the other piece of lean not on your own understanding. And I love when God makes things super clear. It's like, oh, okay, I can't misinterpret that. You can't misinterpret that. If you're leaning on your own understanding, God says that's foolish. If you're trusting in your own mind, God is really clear. That's not in God's will for you to lean on your own understanding. Self-sufficiency, self-reliance, self-dependence, those things have been the ruin of mankind since the fall of Adam in the garden. The great sin of the human race is our continuing insistence to live independently from God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on on his understanding, not on your own understanding, right? And now we have the third piece of it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I looked up the word acknowledge. The definition is pretty interesting. It says to declare that one recognizes the claims of a person or thing that is fully established. Can we say that our God is fully established? More than anything you can possibly imagine? God's fully established. Now, notice we are told in all, there's our all again, in all of our ways, acknowledge him. You know what that doesn't mean? I want to turn some areas of my life over to God. I want God to guide me in some of the things that I'm maybe a little bit weak on. No, that's not what it says. Again, God says all. I want to be acknowledged in all the things that you are, all the things that you do. I want you to acknowledge who I am. And it's more than just, you know, oh, I know who you are, God. I get it. You're God. I'm moving on. This is a plea directly from God's heart that he wants to be the center of your life. Everything. Now, I don't have to tell you. Things have changed, right? Think about when I was young. There are so many distractions. As a child, I used to play for hours. Like, I would sit outside for hours, and I had these little cars and this little hill, and I would build roads and hours. And, you know, life was simpler. Because of our devices and the media, there's so many distractions today. And I would tell you that the enemy of your soul wants to find distractions. The enemy of your soul is looking for distractions to keep you from focusing on what God has for you. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? The enemy of your soul is looking for distractions. That's not what God wants for you. God wants you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and focus in all your ways. Don't just acknowledge who God is. Acknowledge what he's done for you, what he wants to do for you, if we just keep him the focus of our life. Keep God the focus of your life. Okay? And finally, we have a beautiful promise, right? Three things he asked us to do, and finally a beautiful promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Let me ask you, does our entire world right now seem like they've completely lost their sense of direction? Is everyone you meet confused? Scared, unsure of what lies ahead? Everyone I meet, I don't know what's going to happen, Steve. Well, we don't have to be. If we would focus on these three things. This is a promise from God, remember? It's an if-then. If you will do these three things, I will direct your path. God's laid this out real clearly to us. This is the path that he wants us on. It may not be the easiest path, but it's going to take us to where he wants us. The pathfinder, the path creator, he's the one that has known the end since the beginning. God knows every situation you've ever faced. God knows what you're facing right now. God knows. God knows what you're facing down your path. He made the path. He knows. We're told again and again in Scripture that the Christian life is not a cakewalk. It's not a cakewalk. I don't want to digress, but At our harvest fest, I had to explain to about 15 people what a cakewalk was. If you don't know what a cakewalk is, see me after church. I'll tell you what a cakewalk is. The Christian walk will be hard. There's trials, there's temptations, and sometimes we turn our eyes toward our own understanding, right? Off the path. We start to fix it ourselves, and we get off the path that God laid for us. Now, one of the cool things is when that happens, we have a good shepherd, right? And that good shepherd has two things. You know, you remember what they are? A rod and a staff, right? Psalm 23, a rod and a staff comforts me. You know what the rod's for? To bonk you on the noggin when you're going the wrong way. Hey! Pay attention. Trust in the Lord, right? You know what the staff's for? Same thing. Reach out and pull you back. Say, nope, you're going the wrong way. God loves us. God loves us. God wants us on that path. And I love that he gives us those examples to say, I'll help you, but I need you to do three things, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, right? God gives us these instructions, and in all your ways acknowledge me, and says, you do these things, I'll help keep you on the right path. I will direct your path. He promises. And God always keeps his promise. Always. All right. So, in my corporate, and I don't really work, I'm not really a corporate guy. I'm a, you know, in my business, right? I do school pictures, and it's, you know, it's just a job, it's just a dumb job. But I've been told many times, and maybe you have too, that you need a 3-year plan, you need a 5-year plan, and maybe you need a 10 or 12-year plan, right? That's just really prevalent in the business world today, to have a solid goal for your life, for your career, for your retirement. How many times have you seen others, or even maybe yourself, gone hard in this direction? This is my goal. This is what I'm doing, right? Only to have it go absolutely nowhere. Why? Because we're leaning on our own human understanding. You spend all that time and energy heading to what you thought was your destination, only to discover that you're completely lost and have to go back and start again. Biblically, God lays it out real clear here. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in me. God's the one who has the ultimate plan for your life. If God should come back for his church soon, and folks, I gotta tell you, it feels like that's the way things are going right now. If God comes back for his church, I really want to be on the right path. Don't you? I don't want to be steamrolling down a path of sin. I don't want to be doubting where I stand with God. I don't want to be disappointing when the maker of heaven comes to get me. I don't want him to be disappointed in me. I want to be doing what he wants me to do. But if he tarries, if he doesn't come back, and I get to the point where my life is near its end, I would love to be like Moses. Remember what happened to Moses? God took Moses on top of a mountain. I want to stand on that mountain with my God and be able to look back at my life and see that he was with me, that he had a path. He created a path for me. I want to see the times when I went way off, right, and he brought me back. And even those little times when he was like, back to you. You know? But I want to look behind me and say, I follow the path God gave me, right? And then just like Moses, but a little different, I want to turn around and look forward. Because this is the path behind me. I'm about ready to die. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? I'm going to heaven. No matter what you see here, no matter the faults that you see in me, I will tell you that I'm thoroughly convinced and convicted. If I die today, I'm going to heaven. I know it. There's no doubt in my mind. So, if that's what God has for me, maybe I die of the dumb Rona. I don't know. Right? That's okay. But here's what I want. Here's what would be really cool. I don't know if God will do this, but I want to be on a mountain. Be able to see this path behind me. And be able to see the promised land like Moses saw, right? But Moses never got to go. Just like me, Moses got to go to heaven, right? That's what I want to see when I'm on top of the mountain. God saying, look where your path leads. This path, look where it leads. Glory. Your path leads to glory. Let's go. You know? And he takes me and I'm there. In the blink of an eye. I know most of you. I will tell you this. If you don't have that conviction, if you don't have that confidence, God wants you in glory. God created a place for you in glory. God created a path for you before the universe was created. That path leads to glory. That's what God wants for you. And it doesn't cost anything. And you can't work your way to it. You get to glory through the blood of his son that he gave unselfishly to die on a cross. And if you've never accepted that, you can do that right now. And come see me after service, and we'll do that right now. We'll take care of that right now. You'll have that same assurance, that blessed assurance of where you're going to be when life on this earth is over, okay? All right. I'm going to close with one more scripture that we all love that you probably have already memorized, and I hope that holds some new meaning after the passage that we studied today, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. There's your path. That's part of God's will for your life. He wants to lead you in paths of righteousness. Make sense? For his name's sake. How about this? Does this apply to our worlds today? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Ah, pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for the promises of your word. Thank you for your love for mankind as a whole and for each of us individually. Hard to comprehend, but promised. And made clear in your word. Thank you for creating my path in the very beginning. Thank you for your rod and your staff, Lord. Lord, please bless everyone who's here. Keep them safe, Lord. Keep them focused on you. And we love you. We thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name. All right. I didn't time anything. I don't know if we're way early or way late, but we're done. We're dismissed. Love you guys. I'd like to try to share with you, which I tend to do, what God did in my life this week in preparation for this morning, okay? I've been praying, like praying. Because Pastor Mike, if you're new today, normally we teach a whole chapter, verse by verse, right? In sequence like that. But when our lead pastor isn't here, he's like, no, you guys let the Spirit lead. And I was like, okay, I can do that, right? And I've been praying, like, Lord, please, 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 right? And I love it when Pastor doesn't ask me at the last minute, right? Like, hey, Steve, tomorrow you're on. Like, hey, okay. And he gave me a week. So I'm like, all right, I get a whole week to study, right? Well, I've been just praying, and you know, it's like crickets. I thought crickets, right? As a matter of fact, Wednesday night, Henry came up to me and said, hey, man, we're doing home fellowships on Monday, and on Monday we go back and study what we learned the last two lessons. But can you give me a preview of what we're doing? I'm like, nope. I can't, because I don't know what God's doing, right? Sorry, Henry. And he was like, okay. So I told Henry, God hasn't spoken yet. Funny thing was, God had spoken. I just wasn't listening closely enough. Okay? So here's how that worked for me this week. At the beginning of the week, I had a piece of scripture that kept coming to my head. And kept coming to my head. And kept coming to my head. And I didn't focus on it. I let it come, right? Listened. Moved on. And then, as I was praying for what God wanted to do today, that verse came back, and the verse before it came with it. And then I kept praying. It's like, okay, thanks God for that. That's not what we're doing this weekend, right? And then another part of the first verse came to me. So now I got these two verses just coming to me and coming to me and coming to me, right? Let me give it to you the way it came to me, okay? First it was, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Okay? So, like always, this was I felt God speaking to me personally, right? I have some very troubled paths to navigate in the near future. I thought this was just God working on me. It's like, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he should direct your path. Like, okay, God. I got it. I got to acknowledge you, and you're going to direct my path. You're going to take care of me. This is good, right? And then I moved on. And then the second half of the verse before that came to me, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He should direct your path. So lean not on your own understanding. I started to feel a little bit guilty, or as our pastor calls it, busted, because I know that one of the things God continues to work out in my life is the fact that sometimes I like to lean on my own understanding. I got to figure it out, right? I got this. I can do this. So I knew that I had to work on that. And then the first part of the first verse came to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So I had to pray again. It's like, okay, trust the Lord with all your heart. So I'm praying over that, right? Do I trust the Lord with all my heart? Praying. And then God made me realize this. He's like, do you get it, Steve? And I'm like, I got it, God. Okay, now you got it? Now, teach it. This is what I want you to cover. So I was like, okay, God. We're going to pray about it again. Pray that God doesn't change his mind, because I don't know what we'll do if he does. But I will tell you right now that this is God, not me. You know? We're gonna do two verses. Two verses. That's new, right? Like Pastor Mike's always like, I'm gonna do two chapters. Like, really? He never does, but he always acts like he's going to, right? We're gonna do two verses. And it's not gonna take 10 minutes. All right? We're gonna do two verses, and if it were my choice, it would not be proper. If God gave me my choices of things to teach on, never be proper. Wouldn't be Ecclesiastes, wouldn't be Song of Solomon. Probably not Psalms, right? But this is what God wants. And it's God's choice. And here's what I know from Scripture, from 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture, right? Including this Scripture. So that's what God told me, and that's what we're going to do. Shall we pray over it? All right. Father God, we thank you so much for this time. Lord, we thank you for softening our hearts, opening our minds with worship, putting us in the right place to receive what it is you're going to give us today, Lord. And we love you. And we're blown away and cannot comprehend your amazing love for us. But we're so thankful. Lord, in a world that's just completely lost it, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who holds my life in his hands. And realize that you've got it. You've got this thing. We just need to keep our eyes on you. And pray, Lord, that the Spirit would just take over. Supernaturally block all distractions. And reach inside of us and just squeeze our hearts, Lord. Turn our attention solely on you and what you have to say. Lord, thank you for this time. I thank you for your church. I thank you for this group of people being here, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, Leslie always asks me for a title of the message. And I never think about a title. So it's always like last minute, it's like, put that. So I put all, and it makes sense afterwards, but I was like, you'll see what I'm talking about. So you all, you all know that whenever I get a chance to come over and teach here, I always try to bring something from Kids Church, right? And in Kids Church, we call this Big Kids Church, just so you guys know what we call you. Here's what we're going to do, that I'm going to try to bring from Kids Church. Every Sunday in Kids Church, we do a memory verse, right? I'll tell you that memorizing scripture is one of those things that I struggle with. It's hard for me, right? I'm pretty good if you put it to a song, right? I can remember a song, but it's hard for me to memorize scripture. It's cool that God put scripture in my head, right? Like this scripture, but it's hard for me to memorize scripture. But I know it's important because scripture tells us that memorizing scripture is important, right? It's God's will for you to memorize scripture. By the time we're done today, I promise you're going to know these two verses. You may never forget them because it's all we're going to study, okay? But look, Psalm 119, 11 talks about memorizing scriptures. It says, I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. God wants us to have his word in our hearts and in our heads. Okay? Part of his will. So, since God put these two verses in my heart, I thought we'd go old school and do a memory verse together. Same way we do it in kids' church. All right? Now, if you didn't go to kids' church or didn't go to Sunday school and this is new for you, I'll let you know. And you don't have to if you don't want to. All right? It's voluntary only. Here's how we do it. We do it in unison, out loud. First, we read the reference. So that's book, chapter, verse. Then we read the verse together, and then go back and read the reference again. Okay? Are you game? All right. So the passage is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And we'll put up on the screen, so if you can't find it in time, you're not doing Milli Vanilli. You follow Billy Vanilli like this. Okay? But I want you doing that. Are you ready? Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. All right, good job. You guys are awesome. Now, before we begin breaking down two verses, you know, I told you it's going to take a while, but before we begin, there's two acronyms I want to share with you. And they're just that, right? Acronyms are a way to, it's a memory thing, right? Keep if you can remember this acronym, you can follow the letters that they stand for, right? Nothing more than that. The first I discovered about a decade ago. I was teaching an adult Sunday school class in Arizona at my last church. And I was seeking God's will in my life, right? Something that we hear a lot. Sometimes still trying to make sure that I'm seeking God's will in my life. And I hope that you're seeking God's will in your life, right? Because it's a big part of what we're studying today. So I was seeking God's will in my life, right? And there's lots of places where we read of what God's will is for your life, right? But I was looking for application. How do I make sure that I'm taking the steps that I need to take to make sure I stay in God's will, right? So I learned and shared this application that my wife continues to share with me a decade later, probably because it's kind of custom made for knuckleheads. Okay? You know how pastor sometimes calls himself a knucklehead? Pastor's not a knucklehead. This guy. If pastor's a knucklehead, I'm a double or a triple knucklehead. All right? And I'll give you an example. This is, like for me, I just need simple, easy-to-follow instructions. How do I take one step to go to where God wants me to go? Okay? So here's the acronym. And again, it's just for memory's sake, okay? There's no, don't get your feelers hurt or anything, okay? The first acronym is PTSD, all right? Here's what it stands for. Pray, think, say, do. Pray, think, say, do. Pray, think, say, do. Easy to remember, PTSD. Pray, think, say, do. Okay, that's the exercise to remember, okay? So, here's what I ask. Use that, pray, think, say, do, to see if you can pull off some of the things we're going to study today, at least one of the three. We're going to look at three things God asked of you. And again, knuckleheads like me, it's like, okay, I want to do that. How? Right? How do I do that? Pray, think, say, do. Okay? Now, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming that all of us are interested in being in God's will. I'm assuming that because you're here, okay? And if you're here, then I have to assume that you want to be in God's will. Because I can tell you that being here is one of the things that I'm positive God has for you in his will. God wills you to be in church. All right? God wants you to worship him with his people in a solid Bible-believing and Bible-teaching church, a place where you can grow, be built up, fellowship, be held accountable. That's one of the things in God's will for you, guaranteed, is that you be in church. Doesn't have to be this church, but you're already here today. Don't walk out, okay? God might have something for you. Okay? So now we got one thing we know about God's will for our lives, for all of our lives. He wants us in church. Agree to that? Okay, good. Now, back to our acronym, all right? Pray, think, say, do. Pray, think, say, do. And to our verses that we're studying, okay? And I will, for life application, I'll be the guinea pig, all right? I'll go first. I'll be the example. Because I know, you know, again, it's a knucklehead plan, and I'm a knucklehead. So following this simple plan, taking the right steps towards making sure I'm following God's will for my life, right? Here's where I'm at. I'm confident that God sent Pastor Mike to Amarillo, right? That's part of his will. Confident that God put me up here. It's not easy. It's a little nerve-wracking, and it's a little scary, but I'm also confident this is what God wanted, right? So I got past all that, right? And then I got to look at my PTSD. Remember? Pray, think, say, do. All right, so A, pray. This week I prayed. I prayed hard, right? I prayed hard. And when I finally realized what it was God wanted to present, I started praying hard about that. Okay? So the P in our PTSD is also scriptural, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Oh, look, there's the will of God again. What's the will of God in your life? Rejoice always. Not easy for me. Pray without ceasing. I got to do more of that. Be thankful in all circumstances. Oh, wait. Be thankful in all circumstances. Even this circumstance, God? Even the pandemic? That's what he says. Anyways. Okay, so self-application, me. Praise covered, man. I prayed hard. I prayed hard this week, right? The next piece, T, think, right? So again, this is biblical. Psalm 119:15 says, I will meditate on your precepts. These are his precepts. I will fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Okay? So there's more on memorizing scripture. Bible just told us, don't forget. Don't read and forget. Don't walk away and like, whoop, done. Right? God wants us to memorize. Put in our head, put in our heart. Okay? So I prayed. God kept giving me those two verses. Just those two verses. I prayed for more. I asked for more. I said, God, we always do more than two verses. But he said, focus on those two verses. Just focus on those two verses, Steve. So I focused. And I thought about them. And I meditated and I studied on just those two verses. So you're tracking me? I prayed. I thought. And guess what we're doing right now? Right now. Thing. I have the opportunity now to say what it is that I'm moving toward in these verses with you out loud over and over and over this morning. Prayed, thought, and now I'm saying. And now the hard part. Do. So here's the deal. I know God gave me these verses. I know he gave them to me first because he wants me to do what they say. Right? I followed the first three steps. Pray, think, say. Now I need you guys to hold me accountable. It's part of what we do when we meet, right? I want you guys to hold me accountable to do what I've already prayed, thought, and said. Will you help me do that? Will you help me do that? All right. So here's what the instructions are that I'm saying I want to do. I want to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I want to not lean on my own understanding. I want to acknowledge God in all my ways. And I want to be confident that He will direct my path. All right? So I already did PTS. Now I need you to hold me accountable for D. So next week, when Pastor Mike is up here and I'm hiding in the back and being, non-social, grab a hold of my shirt and say, "How's that going, bro?" Don't be mean, because I'll be mean back. You know who I am. But, grab a hold of my shirt and say, "Hey, man, how are you doing with that? Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you still on the path? Are you praying? Or are you leaning on your own understanding again, Pastor Steve?" Okay? Hold me accountable. So PTSD, I was thinking about adding an R, because I know that God wants us to read His word, but PTSD didn't make any sense. So I'm just going to assume that you're reading your word because God wants you to read your word. It's in His will for you. He gave it to you, not to sit on the shelf, but for you to read it. Okay? So read. All right, so that's my first acronym. My second one you may have heard before, but since we've been talking about God's word, I thought it was apropos. This acronym is Bible. B-I-B-L-E. You know what Bible stands for? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Okay? You with me? You tracking? Could we be leaving Earth soon? We could be. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if the rapture happens as soon as we're out. I wouldn't be surprised. And to be honest, I'm ready to go. When I was a little younger, when I was your age, I'd be like, wait, God, I got a lot of things I want to do. I want to have kids and. But I'm not young anymore. And if God wants to come as soon as we're out of here, I'm good with that. I'm ready to go home. Okay? All right. So, rapture. If the rapture is coming, there's no better time to make sure that you're living in God's will than right now. We'll discuss that later. And there's no other place that you can find what this holds, especially for knuckleheads like me. If you want your instructions, guess what? The Bible is basic instructions before leaving Earth. Everything you need to know before the rapture, right here. Everything. There's nothing left out. Okay? All right, so there's our acronyms. Let's dig into our text. Okay? Two verses. What I'm hoping is two things. I'm hoping that before the day is done, you'll never forget these verses. And I'm also, and I shouldn't say hoping, I'm confident, that we're going to look at these verses at the end of our time, and you're going to see something new in them. And maybe some other verses that you know real well. You're going to see something new. Because that's how God's word works. Right? I've been reading the Bible since I was a little dude. And I've read it multiple times, cover to cover. And there's, there's always something brand new. And in these two verses, I've read them thousands of times. And I got a whole lot of brand new. And only God's word works that way, right? I mean, if you're a heavy reader, no other publications work that way. You read something 15, 20 times, it's like, pretty much got it. It doesn't really change, right? I mean, it may bring back memories for you, but it's not alive. All right. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So this is a conditional promise from God. This is what we call an if-then. All right? First, we're told that if we desire for God to direct our path, then we need to, one, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Two, lean not on your own understanding. Three, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Make sense? So let's look at these three things. First, the three things he asks of us. Okay? First, trust in the Lord with all. You see where the title comes from? All. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. As it pertains to our lives and the directions our lives are going, short term, long term, do we really, 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 do we trust God? Do you trust him deeply? Do you trust him totally? All right. I see a lot of nodding heads. I'm glad you're saying that. Let me make sure. I'm going to give you some examples, okay? Are you willing to turn your lives over to whatever God wants to do with them? All right? Be honest. I'm going to be honest up here, okay? You got to be honest too. Or does the desire to take things into our own hands ever take over? And again, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching at me. God gave this to me first. Okay? This is a very, very human thing. And at the risk of being a chauvinist, I would say this is a very, very male thing. Because I am a fixer. Right? I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix this. I want to take charge. I want to take over. That's what I do, right? I want to get the ship going in the direction that I'm positive it needs to go. That's my ship. And if you hang out with me a lot, your ship too. You hear me? This is who I am. So it's easy to say, oh yeah, I trust God, everything, all of it, right? But I'm trying to show you that we're human, right? We're not perfected beings yet. We're human. So if I can't get you to be super honest, I'll be super honest, all right? It's a strong pull for me. And I feel that pull especially if I see my life, or yours if you're right next to me, heading into stormy waters, right? It's a gut reaction. It's like, hey, let me grab the wheel, my boat. If you're close enough, look, storm, this way, come on, bro, right? I want to do that. And if I do that, that would be my own understanding. That's what that is. Okay? And we'll talk more about leaning not on my own understanding in a bit. Now, you may look from afar at me and say, well, that guy's competent and he's confident. And while it may seem that way sometimes, I'm really not. I'm just a human. I'm a failed human. And my desire to take over my ship and sometimes yours is not biblical. Not biblical. What's biblical? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what I should be doing, right? I mean, if our boats are heading to a storm and you're right beside me, what I should be doing is, God's got me. If God tells me, go this way, I'm going to go that way, right? But what I should be doing is trusting in the Lord, not taking hold of the wheel. That's not what I'm told to do. Now, I've shared this with you guys before, maybe not all of you, so if you haven't heard before, I'll share with you again, okay? And again, being brutally honest about me and my life. Here's what's happened to me, and I'm getting better. Trust me, I'm getting better, all right? Here's what's happened to me in my walk with God. God is saying right here, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? The idea is right now, right? Here's what Steve does. I got it, I'm good, right? I got the wheel, I'm good, okay? And then I get into 10-foot waves. And all of a sudden, I'm more like, you follow me? Now I'm spooked. And, you know, we can go off the water because we're living in the desert. And I can tell you this way, okay? There's been plenty of times in my life when I was leaning on my own understanding, right? Driving my own boat, going my own way, and guess what happened? I started feedback. I came to a wall that I couldn't get over. Guess what I did? Dear Lord, I hit the wall. I can't get over the wall, Lord. Will you please help me over the wall? All right? Being honest here, okay, I'm telling you how God's matured me in my walk with him. Because that's not what this says. That's not what this is looking for. God's saying right now, trust me. Before you get into those waters, before you hit the wall, trust me now. Stop driving yourself to the wall. That's dumb. That's your own understanding. You're following that, and that's dumb. All right. So again, we're asked, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Trusting and believing in God's ability and God's complete authority to steer my life is an action of my heart. Because I can say in my brain, okay, God, you got it. Right? And I can pray, think, say, but I got to do from here. I got to say, I don't got it. I don't got it before I get to the wall. I don't got it. You got it. Whatever you want, God. You see how it's really easy to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and say, yeah, I got it, Steve. I'm good. No. Whatever you want, God. Whatever you want. You take over right now. That's what God's asking here. All right? And it comes from here, not from here. Okay? Here's Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 4:20. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance. I can't get that word right. For from it flow the springs of life. All right? Now, something else I've noticed about these two verses, and last minute add, right? The word all shows up twice. Okay? First off, in what we're looking at right now, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And later on, we'll look at, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Okay? God's asking me first, and then through me asking you to put all your trust, your complete trust in him. If you decide to place half of your trust in him and keep the other half, because you've been pretty good through life so far, or place half your trust on someone else, that's not all. That's not all. Okay? Let me give you what I read from a commentator in the scriptures. Here's what he said. They trust not God at all that do it not alone. He that stands with one foot on a rock and another foot upon quicksand will sink and perish as certainly as he that stands with both feet on quicksand. You can't have half your foot on the rock. You've got to have both feet on the rock. Because if you have one foot in the rock and one foot on quicksand, guess what happens? You'll sink just like the guy that doesn't have anything on a rock. This is what God's asking. This is real. This is heavy. God's asking for all, right? Now, when I've had the chance to teach before, I don't know why, but the subject of my children always comes up. I got three children. One of them in the room. And I feel like God gave us children for a bunch of different reasons, right? Children are a blessing. You know, I love my children. If you got grandchildren, you love your grandchildren more than your children. Children are amazing. And I love my kids. Love them, love them. But here's one thing that I learned. God gave us children so we can better understand our relationship with our children and our relationship with God. There's so many things that are so like, oh, I get that because I get this because of this, right? Let me help you. Want to see that? All right. So in our passage we're reading, Solomon is teaching his son, asking him to listen to what he knows God wants to teach him. All right, so let me ask you, do you want your children to trust you? Yes? You want your children to trust you. All right, good. I know I do. As a matter of fact, I can hear in my head the things I've told my kids again and again and again. My kids are Nicholas, Joshua, some of you know Joshua, and Hannah in the back, right? Here's what I've said to them. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. I know what's best for you. Don't ask me why. Just trust me. Have you ever said that? Okay. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Your Heavenly Father is saying that to you right now. In His Word, He's saying that to you right now. Trust me. God is reaching out to your heart right now with this verse and saying, trust me. With all your heart, not half, all your heart, trust me. He knows things are weird right now. He knows what's going on. He knows the state of the world. Right now, God is saying, I want what is best for you. But you have to trust me. We can't fix this thing in the world, can we? God can. God's reaching out to you right now saying, trust me. And you can ignore him. I got this, God. That's my way, right? I'll trust you when I got the Rona. And I'm in the hospital. And my family can't come see me. Then I'll reach out, God. Oh. That's not what he's asking for. Fully trusting God is a heart issue, not a head issue, right? We talked about PTSD, pray and think. And even say, right? Those are head things. Do is a heart thing from the heart. Do you trust God? When you think about the options of what to trust, especially when things are difficult, are things difficult right now? Trusting God is still hard. It's not easy. But it's the only thing right now. For the world that can't turn to God, hopeless. Trusting on man, trusting on science, trusting on, you know, leadership, government. Good luck. Good luck with that. That's not working. The only possible solution to what seems an impossible situation is trusting in God completely. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what our passage says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. God asks that of you from the beginning of your walk with him, when you know nothing, through your entire time that you're a Christian. And guess what? When you get to a place where you're on your final legs on this big ball of mud, God wants you to trust him. God has something for you. He wants you to continue to trust him. Yeah? All right. So, 40 minutes in, we got part of one verse. We're doing good, right? Here's where it gets hard for me, okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. All right. So these two phrases are put together for a reason. They're in opposition to each other. They're juxtaposed, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I don't need to tell you. You've already experienced it, or you've seen me experience it, that leaning on your own understanding does not always work. As a matter of fact, when I lean on my own understanding and don't lean on God's, I usually goof things up. Trusting in God, which is the first part of our verse, trusting in God's understanding, the one who understands everything because he created everything, that makes more sense. The fact that God understands and knows and thinks differently than my brain could be obvious, but it's hard to comprehend. Okay? Let me tell you one time when it sunk in. It's like, wait a minute. So I'm teaching an adult Sunday school, and we're having a very interactive study, right? People are talking, and we're going back and forth, and we're trying to figure out part of what we talked about tonight. How do we stay in God's will? How do we make sure we're doing what God wants? And then we got into this discussion about, why did God decide to do that? What was God thinking when he did this? I don't really get that. What was in God's head when he did that? What was his purpose, right? And so it's going back and forth, and it's not getting heated. It's just like, it was pretty fun. And then there's a sweet lady, a missionary from Mexico. This is when I was in Southern Arizona, who was sitting in the back, and she speaks very little English. We love her and we get along great with her. She has an orphanage in a border town in Mexico. And Olivia stood up and mostly Spanish said, "What about this?" All right? So we're going back and forth about what's in God's mind. Here's what she gave us. And the conversation, Isaiah 55:8 says, this is God, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." You can't comprehend God's thoughts. And you can't comprehend God's ways, because you're not God. And his ways and thoughts are way far out of reach for our simple human brains, right? Now, here's what we know, because he says, God had a plan for you, a specific plan for you, before the universe was created. You see how far over you he is? I can't even tell what's going to happen to me tomorrow. God had a plan for me before the universe was created. Is that beautiful? Now, what are we asked to do here again? Trust. Right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And what? Lean not on your own understanding. Aren't you glad we're called to trust and believe? We're asked to fully trust, right? Fully believe, fully. You know what we're not asked to do? Fully understand. Aren't you glad? What if God said, "I want you to fully understand everything about me"? I'm out. I'm done, right? But here's you. God, I don't understand why this is happening to me. Here's God. I don't need you to understand. I need you to trust. Yeah? Now, if some part of you is like, okay, Pastor Steve, that's all fine and well, but I've done pretty good leaning on my own understanding. I'm pretty good. I'll get a little bit of God once in a while, but for the most part, I got this. You know what God says about that? Proverbs 28:26 says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. But he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. You know, that's not me. And I got to tell you, man, you know, again, this is God preaching to me. And I love it when God makes things clear for a knucklehead like me. You can trust in God. You can trust in his understanding. You can trust in his will. Or you can try trusting in your own mind. And if you go that route, God says, that's foolish. And that's not what God has for you. That is not God's will for you. That's crazy, huh? I mean, again, guys, I mean, I laugh because it's like, man, if roles were reversed, if I was out there and you were up here, I'd be like, oh, please don't preach at me anymore. Because it's me, you know? Look, self-sufficiency, self-reliance, self-dependence. Do you hear that from the world? Do you hear it in school? Do you hear it in school? Let me say it again. Self-sufficiency, self-reliance, self-dependence. Self-sufficiency, self-reliance, self-dependence have been the ruin of mankind since the fall of Adam in the garden. You're not going to hear that from the world right now. The great sin of the human race is their continual endeavor to live independently of God. I got this, God. I got this. I'm not on my own understanding. My own understanding is flawed and broken and will take me nowhere. Okay. Sorry. So here's what we have so far. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And next, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So the definition of acknowledge, excuse me, is to declare that one recognizes the claims of a person or a thing that is fully established. To acknowledge means to declare that one recognizes the claims of a person or thing that is fully established. Can we say our God is fully established? Can you think of anything more established than our God? Okay. Now again, what does it say? In what? All your ways? God, I have these things in my life I'm not handling well. I'd like to turn some of these things over to you. God, I really want you to guide me in some of these things that I'm a little bit lost on. Nope, that's not what it says. It says in all your ways. All. This is a plea directly from God wanting to be the center of our lives. Everything. In our lives, and things have changed since I was little, there are so many distractions. When I was a little kid, I could sit outside with my cars and play on a hill of dirt for 4 or 5 hours. I don't have that anymore. You know? In our devices. In the media, that's like, Look, God wants us to focus on Him and acknowledge Him in all our ways. The enemy of your soul would do anything he can to find a distraction so you're not focused on God in everything in your life. The enemy of your soul will do everything he can to find a distraction. Did you realize that? Because that's, if we're thinking about that, it's like, oh man, Satan is trying to distract me right now. Guys, Satan was trying to distract me this morning on my way here. And last night as I was trying to study. That's what he does. That's what he wants. If we're aware of that fact, does it make it easier to focus? I hope so. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And focus in all your ways. Don't just acknowledge who God is. Acknowledge what He's done. What He wants to do. If you just keep Him the focus of your life. It's an if-then. It's an if-then. And then the last part of this, we have this beautiful promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct your path. All right? And let me ask you. Does the entire world seem like they've lost their sense of direction right now? Is it just me, or is everyone you meet lost, confused, scared? I'm scared, Steve. And if nothing else, completely unsure of what lies ahead. Everyone. Well, guess what? We don't have to be that. We don't have to be that. If we follow what God has laid out clearly for us right here in these two verses, God's path is the right path. What God designed for you before the creation of the universe is exactly what is perfect for you. It's not the easiest, but it's going to take you where you need to be. The path finder, the path creator, the one who's known the end since the beginning, the one who knows every situation that you've ever faced, the one who knows exactly what you're facing right now, and the one who can see in the future to everything that you're going to face, has a plan selected specifically for you. Now, we're told again and again, the Christian life is not a cakewalk. All right? And if you don't know what a cakewalk is, at our Harvest Fest, I had to tell like four millennials what a cakewalk was. Come get me after and I'll tell you, okay? But basically, it means Christian life is not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be easy. Sometimes it's going to be hard, right? But it's the right way, right? And we're told that there's going to be trials. There's going to be temptations. And sometimes temptations are hard not to look at, right? So I'm walking God's path. I'm walking God's path. And then something, the enemy, with his distractions, has got me looking at something different. And you know what they say when you're driving? Like whatever you're looking at, go that way, right? That's the same way in life. If you're looking at it, you're going to go that way. Now here's the cool thing about the Good Shepherd. Okay, you'll focus on those three things we talked about, right? He promises to direct your path. You know part of what's involved with directing your path? 23rd Psalm says the Good Shepherd has two things. You know what they are? A rod and a staff. You know what a rod's for? You really want to wander off the path? Bonk! Get back on the path, dummy. Right? Not mean. That's just me. You know what a staff's for? Like, hey, Tell me. Go back this way. Go back on the path. You focus on those three things, the promise is, I'll keep you on the path. God's got the tools to keep us on the path. Right? God loves you. If you trust him with all your heart, if you leave your own understanding behind, if you make him the most important thing in your life, he will direct your path. He promises. And God never breaks his promise, ever. All right? Now, at my job, maybe at your job, maybe at school, I've been told that I got to have a 3-year plan. I got to have a 5-year plan. Got to have a 10-year plan, maybe 10 or 12-year plan. I got to have a plan, right? Prevalent in the business world to have a solid goal for your life, for your career, for your retirement. Let me ask you this. How many times have you said, this is my direction? And maybe you haven't. I know I have. This is my plan. I got it all in, lined up. And then it's like, you look back, it's like, I don't work. I don't work at all. I gotta go back and start again. I'm at that point in my life right now. It's like I had a plan. That plan did not work. I gotta try again. And that's because I leaned on my own understanding. Right? Don't do that. Who needs that? God is the one who has the plan for your life. And what he's asking you here is put all your trust in him. Put all your eggs in that basket. He's got you. If God should come back for his church soon, does it feel like that could happen? Feels like it to me. If God should come back for his church soon, I want to make sure that I'm walking on God's path, that I'm in God's will. I don't want to be rolling down Sin Highway when God comes back, right? I don't want to disappoint him. And you know what happens when you're rolling down Sin's Highway? You're always doubting. It's like, did I really ask God into my heart? Am I good? Because I'm sinning again and again and again. And you know, there's a lot of back and forth, right? Between the group that says you can't lose your salvation and the group that says you can. And you know what God did for my life? It's like, you just keep following me. You don't worry about those people. You keep your eyes on me and you'll never wander. So this is the same thing here, man. If God's coming back soon, right now is a really good time to get in God's will. Right now. But if God tarries and doesn't come back for his church, can I tell you what I would love to see happen? He probably won't do it, but how cool would this be? If I get to the point where my life is nearing its end, I'd like to be like Moses, right? Because God took Moses on top of a mountain. And I like mountains. I want to get on top of that mountain with my God. And I want to look back. And I want to see my path. And I'm going to see places where I followed a rabbit, you know. And I'm going to see places where he may have reached out and said, get back in line. And I'll see those walls that I came to that I couldn't get over. I'll see those. But hopefully, I'll see that I was on the path that he laid out for me that led me to the top of the mountain. Where I'm at right now, right? At the end of my life. And then I want to turn around and look forward. Remember what Moses saw? Promised land, right? Now, Moses didn't get to go to the promised land because he struck the rock at Meribah, right? But Moses got to go to the promised land, right? When I'm on top of that mountain, let me tell you something, okay? I'm completely sure. I'm completely convicted that what's going to happen to me when I die, I'm going to heaven. Period. So when I get to the top of that mountain, I'm going to see what God prepared for me. And then in a blink of an eye, I'm gone. Glory. That's where I'm going. And what a cool thing to be able to look back at the path that God had for you and be at that point ready to leave this earth and go to the next one and to be able to see glory where God, God's ultimate end of the path goes, right? To live with him forever. That's pretty cool. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I think that verse will stick with you for a while. All right. I want to close with another scripture that we all know and probably love. See if it holds any new meaning for you after what we studied today. Ready? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's part of your path. Okay? That's where God's going to take you as part of your path. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Your path is bathed in his righteousness. For his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Are we walking through the valley of the shadow of death right now, maybe? Does it feel like it sometimes? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a place, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me on my path all the days of my life. And at the end of the path, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your promises, Lord. Thank you for your instruction. Thank you for this time. Thank you for closing off the distractions of the world, for keeping all the madness that we experience on a daily basis out of this place, for opening up heaven and letting us look at what you have for us, for showing us the path that you want us to be on, for sharing your will, making it clear, making it simple, giving us a choice. Father God, I pray that we wouldn't leave the same. I pray that we would reach out to you, Lord, honestly, sincerely, and do these things that you've asked us, and then have confidence that you've got a path for us, and you're right there walking with us. Lord, please protect us as we go our way. Have your hand on our pastor, bring him back safely to us, Lord. We love you. We thank you so much for your love for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Dismissed. Love you guys.